Can I declare the meeting open? And welcome the members, welcome the members. Secretary, I came across one member who said that he was going to the doctor. How many apologies do we have and who are they and what reasons?
Chair, I have one apology from Honorable Dudley. She's attending another meeting, Chair.
That is very ungodly, ne? Okay, and I came across Honorable Bachman.
Chair, sorry, at 12 o'clock I need to leave for another meeting.
Sorry?
At 12 o'clock I would need to leave for another meeting.
Would long be done.
Finish.
Yeah. And then I came across Honorable Mluana. Because I went to the shop before I came here, and then he said, they tell you that I'll be going to the doctor, I'm waiting for the car here.
Yes.
So, Utebos, I got the doctor. And his younger brother is a bishop, you know, so we must accept his apology.
Ah.
Yes. Otherwise, you won't go to heaven. The younger brother.
I know.
Not the bishop who feeds people snakes and makes them eat grass. Yesterday, the special assignment, he was actually protesting. He's an Anglican bishop. No, he was protesting and resisting.
They don't want women to be in the church.
Mm.
To be
whole
position.
Where was
this
problem?
SAPG 1.
Oh,
half past 9.
Oh.
It went very well.
Excellent.
So, just in case you die prematurely, you can always go to Bishop Lukau.
South African.
He will attend to your death.
After that?
Actually, you rise twice because he resurrects you here, and Jesus still does a huge benefit. But remember, that was on a light note. So these are the. I think we should record the apology, which is kind of a standing apology for Honorable Maila, because he is part of the Magistrates Commission, and he told me that they are interviewing about 200 of them, and they are finishing on the 3rd of May. 200 magistrates, so it's part of the Magistrates Commission. So, in fact, I'm going to go to my
Shortly.
Honorable S. Maila. And Vinod, Honorable Kota.
No,
you didn't get anything. No, no, no. The meeting is official. Our members, on the agenda, we have two items. The briefing by the department on the security situation in Darfur and the consideration and adoption of the committee legacy report. The minutes are not there. Because you see what has happened. I thought when I was speaking to Sisdineo, Imani, when I was speaking to Sisdineo, I wanted to change the agenda. I wanted to say she must present to them. Then she reminded me that the report, the legacy report, was presented and then improvements were effected. So we don't have to go to the presentation again. We can go to the page by page. So that means we don't have to change the sequence of the items. And in view of that, then we can take the minutes. By the way, it's a witness of this committee. If you read the report itself, it says we take a long time before we So on our print, I guess this one, on our print, our minutes then, so later now. Can I request that we factor in the minutes as item number 6 and then number 6 become number 7? Honourable Bergman, we are the only surviving gentlemen in the committee now. We must support each other. Thank you very much. So number 6 is now minutes. Closing is number 7, but let it not be closing, let it be announcement and closure. Announcements and closure. Can I be reminded, Sister, is this not the last committee meeting?
The last day which we are sitting is next week. So the committee may choose one or two.
To execute what business next week if we ever sit?
I'll just check the program. Or Venezuelan gas station.
Then. Because I wanted to bid farewell to the members. No. Venezuela and DRC, yeah. No, now I remember. Now I remember. Okay. With that, thank you very much. So the agenda is adopted with the amendment. We've inserted minutes, and then number 7 is announcements and closure. We will now hand over to Mrs. Rachel Morake from the Department of International Relations to make a presentation on the security situation in Darfur.
Thank you very much,
Chair. No. I'm just trying to check for the record whether saying the security situation in Darfur is it correct? In my view, I could be wrong, but we could have said in Darfur, Sudan, or we could have said Sudan and Darfur, because otherwise, Darfur is not a country, the region of Sudan. And even then, you have Sudan and South Sudan. So something is missing, just for the record of Parliament. Even this one. So can we, I think we can amend that.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable committee members.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to all honorable members of the committee. It's a pleasure for me to be here this morning. My name is Rachel Morake, and I am the director in the National Office for the Coordination of Peace Mission. And
and we are here for the first time.
Yes.
Okay. The gentleman right there at the beginning is Honorable Bergman, the member of this committee, and the lady is Honorable Kalyan, is a member of the committee. Then the third lady is Honorable, actually the third member, but the second lady is Honorable Kenye, and then it's Honorable Raputi here, and then it's Honorable Lesoma. I'm Sipho Sezwe, the surname is Masango.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the introduction. I'm the director responsible for coordinating peace missions, international peace missions, in the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. The directorate is placed under the Global Governance and Continental Agenda, under the leadership of Ambassador Olusegun. And I take care of specifically the hotspots, the countries that are torn by conflict. Specifically, we look at, and unfortunately, Darfur is not one of the ones on the radar that much, but we do keep an eye on it. The DRC, South Sudan, we look at Mali and the Sahel, and we also look at, we try and follow also elections as they happen on the African continent. We do some work as well a little bit on terrorism, and we look at as well at the issues that pertain to assisting the SADC as well. The work that we do is in conjunction with the Department of Defense and also SAPS, where most of the deployments take place internationally. Let me begin with the purpose of the briefing, and I see that honorable members have the presentation. Yes, thank you. I'm here to brief on the security situation in Darfur, Sudan, also including how the United Nations Security Council, in cooperation with the African Union, is ensuring the implementation of the Darfur peace process and the continued protection of vulnerable civilians, especially in the camps of the internally displaced people and in the prevention of gender-based
violence. Dr. Mazopa, most welcome. Yeah, proceed.
Okay. Just to give a brief context, that we are aware that the political situation in Sudan has become volatile due to precarious economic situations in the country. You will remember that on the 9th of December, there was, the protests started taking place in particularly in the Darfur area, where the communities started a lot of persistent protests based on the rising price of food and other commodities such as fuel. And this ongoing protest, which started in December, also started to take a political tone to it, with calls for President al-Bashir to resign. Now, Khartoum, however, blames external influences, on the call for regime change. And the upcoming elections as well in 2020, and the efforts by some political parties to change the constitution to allow Bashir to run for a third term will likely give rise to instability going forward. Now, honorable members, it will be recalled that both the AUPSC at its February 2019 summit and also the United Nations Secretary General in his latest report on Darfur, they've reiterated the importance of enhancing and strengthening cooperation between the UN, the AU and other regional organizations in conflict prevention, in mediation, in peacekeeping, and in peace building, And also they have really emphasized the issue of releasing conflict-torn countries of the scourge of humanitarian strife and lack of human rights and the rule of law. And this call really is based on the joint UNAU framework for enhanced partnerships in peace and security, which was signed in April in 2017.
The point is,
should we make it bigger?
Smaller.
Oh, okay.
Well, as for no one, I would take. You know, like, if we can just deal with them.
Sorry about that.
Is it the same one? It's not your turn.
There's two slides there that I've
yeah.
added.
Yes, I read both of them. So you're speaking to this one. Which is called the Information Note on the Humanitarian Crisis in the WHO.
No, that one.
Wow. Kubera.
Thank you very much. So I was, just to proceed, I wanted to say that in addition, they also in their joint consultative meeting, the AU Commissioner, Ambassador Cherki. Ambassador Smail Cherki, along with the UNFG Antonio Guterres, outlined ways to best support African capacities in prevention of conflict and response to peace and security challenges. Cherki also stressed the importance of joint AU-UN assessment and analysis, supporting efforts to develop the African standby force, working together on sustainable PCRD initiatives and need to enhance predictability, sustainable and flexible funding for AU PSOs, including through the UN assessed contributions. Honorable members and chair, we will remember that the issue of the funding, peace funding in Africa has become a very contentious issue. In fact, we've just come back from the C34 meeting where this issue is still meeting a lot of resistance and all red lines were drawn between countries of the West like the US and the NAM bloc or the NAM group. And Honorable Cherki has proceeded to stress this issue because peacekeeping operations, whether be they peacekeeping or peace building, would need funding or resources that are commensurate to the mandates and the work at hand that peacekeepers have to undertake. Therefore, if we keep this in mind going forward, also regarding what it would mean for the drawdown mission, whether or not the performance of the troops in Darfur would still be able to do the work with what they have at the moment, just to keep that in mind. Now, in terms of the actual UNAMID, the UN Security Council and the AU Peace and Security Council authorized the deployment of the UNAMID already in 2007. So this has been a very long protracted conflict in this country. And Darfur has therefore come a long way since the first UNAMID deployment in 2007. Now, UNAMID has played a significant role in assisting the Sudanese government and the parties in Darfur to resolve their challenges. It has also been a practical manifestation when we talk about the cooperation between the UN and the AU. UNAMID is always used as the flagship or as an example of this joint cooperation. in 2017, it was decided that UNAMID will proceed with a drawdown and of the UNAMID troops and police officials, and on a transition concept in collaboration with the United Nations country team over a two-year time frame with a view towards the exit of the mission on 30-2020. Honorable committee members, the UNAMID mission or mandate is due to be renewed or to be reviewed this year in June. So going forward, we are expecting that the troops will reduce even further with the in terms of the roadmap towards the final exit in June 2020. Following the decision to draw down, UNAMID's reconfiguration is proceeding with the repatriation of military personnel, the redeployment of formed police units, as well as the development of sufficient capacities for the rule of law and respect for human rights as part of the transition period. At the moment, South Africa's role in UNAMID is that we presently have 36 SAPS members, of which one is a doctor and the other 35 are police peacekeepers. Now the situation in Darfur, the UN Security Council requested the Secretary General to present a report on the situation in Darfur, and this report spans 3 months, and the 3 months started in October to the 3rd of January. So it remains relatively, the report indicates that the situation in Darfur remains relatively calm during the past 3 months. There was also no major intercommunal violence reported in terms of the United Nations Secretary General's report. In addition, the number of crime-related incidents on human rights violations has declined during this period. These improvements have had a positive impact on the humanitarian situation. However, the incidences of threats of sexual and gender-based violence, such as rape, arbitrary detentions, and arrests aimed in particular against vulnerable populations, especially women, children, internally displaced people, remain significant. Honorable Chair, the recent C34 substantive session, which we call the Special Committee on Peacekeeping, concluded last Friday. And during this substantive session, there was a lot of very strong call in expressing sentiments against sexual exploitation and abuse. And the substantive session also called for more stringent oversight in monitoring of conduct and discipline as part of performance in theaters of conflict. And we will also recall that now the AU has in fact used the UN conduct and discipline and the SIA blueprint, and that member states, African member states, are now expected to implement the conduct and discipline and the sexual exploitation and abuse, or at least build them into the training of their troops, be they military or security or police. Chair, in 2019, the Special Committee, through its leadership again of the Working Group of the Whole, also made a call for the UN and the troop and police contributing countries to respect and implement the directives of the Action for Peace Initiative, which was launched last year, March, which emphasizes the role of women peacekeepers, especially in intervention of IDPs and assisting detainees, women and children in particular, to resettle in their communities. Now, for South Africa, the RSA police contingent, which has 15 female and 20 male in Darfur, already play this important role. At the same time, relevant parties as well continue their commitment to the negotiations process under the auspices of the African Union High-Level Implementation Panel, which, you know, is led by President Mbeki in collaboration with the former Ambassador Mamabolo, who is the joint UNSG Special Representative. In terms of South Africa's position, we welcome the improvements in the security situation in Darfur, especially as no major intercommunal violence were reported in recent weeks. We also note that the number of crime-related incidents and human rights violations have declined during this period, even though it is still a matter of great concern. However, South Africa notes with concern the incidents and threats of sexual and gender-based violence which remain significant. We also welcome the gains made in advancing the Darfur peace process and the implementation of the Doha document for peace in Darfur. South Africa again stresses that it remains important for all parties to continue their commitment to the negotiation process under the auspices of the African Union High-Level Implementation Panel. Whilst we note the continued reduction of the military strength of UNAMID, it is of importance that UNAMID continues to address security concerns of the local communities and IDPs. South Africa stresses the importance of humanitarian support to affected areas in Sudan. It is essential as well that there is an eventual transition from humanitarian support to reconstruction and development in the Darfur area as UNAMID eventually exits South Sudan, not South Sudan. South Africa also continues to stress the importance of UNAMID to continue to provide technical and logistical assistance to the Sudan DDR Commission to assist with disarmament and demobilization of armed combatants. We've also called on the UNSC that notwithstanding its drawdown, UNAMID must continue to ensure the protection of vulnerable civilians, especially in internally displaced people, in the camps and in the prevention of gender-based violence. Women and children are the most affected by sexual violence, which has also increasingly become a weapon of war and conflict, affecting the long-term prospects of peaceful and prosperous communities. Thank you, Chair. I think that is the end of the...
sorry, man. I'm very uncomfortable. Can take this chair, then. Because last time you were here, no?
Yes.
And you were seated this time.
That's right, yes.
You know, in terms of protocol, these are members of parliament.
Oh, right.
Here is another chair.
Yeah,
there's a seat. Hey.
Gracias.
No, I just wanted to explain this movement which may have made members uncomfortable. Well, not uncomfortable would be proper. No, we had the coming in of Dr. Madropa. Dr. Madropa is not a member of the committee, and she subsequently left. So that might have answered to the members. So I did say welcome, Dr. Madropa, and then the two honorable members who came in later are not members of the committee. They are visiting members. They are in fact newly sworn in into Parliament last week among, if I'm not mistaken, among the five members of Parliament who were replacing members who had resigned or got other assignments. And they are Honorable Albert Vosumuzu Mahlangu. Honorable Mahlangu is from Mpumalanga. My province is from Mpumalanga, a place called Steeptrek, Middleburg. Yeah, he's a newly sworn in member, just for the members who don't know him. He's brand new. Welcome. The Speaker has welcomed you to Parliament. We welcome you to our committee. This is the Committee on International Relations and Cooperation. And then the other member is Honorable Ezrom Siyabi. Is it with I, Excellent? Yeah. Honorable Ezrom Siyabi is from Limpopo. Which specific village?
Polokwane.
Oh, from Polokwane. Okay. Okay, I was working at a place called Murtile District. Now there's a village named after one of your grandfathers. It's called Hasia. You know the place. There is Sia, then there is. Yeah. So you have your clan there. Most welcome. Most welcome to our committee. Also most welcome to Parliament. You are in the Committee of International Relations. Now the lady presenting is Ms. Rachel Morake from the Department of International Relations, and she was presenting on the absence and security, absence of peace and security situation in Sudan, in the region called Darfur. So you've got those briefing notes there. You can quickly run your eyes through them. And then the lady who came in, came and sat beside them, and they had to go back, is an official, is a visitor. So it actually made some unsettling movements. She's a visitor. You are representing. Yeah, from the USA.
No, from the UK.
From the UK. You can sit there and give us a briefing on Brexit. No, I'm joking. She's not allowed. Okay, no, most welcome too. I saw you last week. Yeah. Most welcome. So you were done with the presentation. And I just want to manage time, and then I want to invite comments. Before even we comment, this situation in Darfur has existed for many years on end within this country. It's a very unfortunate development that does not go away. And members are preparing, and I'm going to make my comments anyway because I've started. What is your take about the international actors who it is claimed that the security situation in Darfur does not go away because they have an interest in the region of Darfur? So as a result, the criticism by some political scientists is that they keep the UNAMID is a peacekeeping mission in a situation where you must actually have a peace enforcement mission. You see what happened in the DRC. To deal with the M23 rebels, they had to create the Force Intervention Brigade, which is an offensive outfit to deal with them, because this was not an outfit that you could take to negotiations, because they want to take over the country and they will not accept elections. So in the case of Darfur, one of the spoilers is the government itself. See, so obviously in an instance like that, if you talk about an offensive force, it would be regarded as an army of occupation. You know that concept. So let me just say, my view is that a peacekeeping mission is not necessarily good for Darfur. Because, amongst others, because of the vassalage of the Janjaweed, you see, the state, or perhaps the president, is actually accused of using the Janjaweed as a destabilizing outfit so that the region remains like that. So it's a bit of a problem. And then lastly, the other criticism, I want to hear your comment, is that the UNAMID is actually a milking cow. Many countries that bring in their soldiers there, they get a lot of, their salary is obviously big because it's paid through the UN, and in this case it's also the African Union Peacekeeping Council. They get more money, they get insurance, they get, yeah. So they would like the peacekeeping. They want to keep that peace forever. So, and it's expensive. It's expensive for the UN, it's expensive for the country, and it can't be low. I don't know whether you have looked at this criticism and what advice must go to the minister, to ultimately to the heads of state and government, that you can't just have a peacekeeping mission there. And if we're discussing the DRC, I would have said the same thing, except in the manner in which the M23 was dealt with. Because again there, and I'm sorry to bring them together, again there, you've got the external actors from within the Great Lakes region, and African states for that matter, within the Great Lakes region, muddying the political waters of the DRC. And here, this thing of oil and that and that and that is actually one of the issues. So that's just one of the things. And the last one, does the UN Human Rights Commission not have power? Whether these powers can be referred to the ICC or somebody else? Angithi, you have variously said that sexual harassment used as a weapon of war. And I've seen that several times, and I was trying to check why the sexual harassment, but when you say it is used as a weapon of war, in fact, it is directed to people who are not the people who created the war in the first instance, the women. Now, because of the nature of the crime, of this crime, but also this thing of cattle raiding, the economic exploitation, etc., etc. Is it not possible that the heads of state and government could work with the government of Sudan, if it is serious, to actually arrest and sentence people who are the perpetrators? Now, I'm mindful of the difficulty that actually these are the soldiers. And it means the government must arrest its own soldiers. But if there's anything that is most painful in Darfur, it is this one. In addition to issues of hunger, issues of abuse of human rights, but this sector of society is the most
tragic.
Yeah, I'm looking for that word. That they are the most. They are the ones to whom these things are directed, and they are not the cause of these things, the women and the children. As a result, in the most vulnerable. As a result, if you have looked at the schooling actually gets totally disrupted. So you're creating intergenerational poverty because of the disruption of schooling, where children are being forced into be soldiers, and then women are forced to marry older men, and then generally the whole thing is a disruption. So you see, for the UN, peacekeeping can't work in a situation like this. Otherwise you're going to have this situation for a long time. So I just thought the position of South Africa, as you were saying in the last pages from, was it page 8? These concerns by South Africa, South African position, page
9,
page 7, in my old, is page from 7. South Africa welcomes the improvement. Yeah, from there onwards.
Okay.
So what I was saying is that otherwise South Africa may need to strengthen its own position. And the DDR process is a two-pronged approach. I'm not sure which one is being used here, because the other one is that you give the vigilantes or the rebels, you give them timeline that by such and such a time you must submit all your weapons, and then you go for reintegration into civilian life. Others will go working, others farming, others go to school, whatever it is. But you give it a timeline. Then beyond that timeline, you then enforce, you clamp down on them. Then in that way, it works. But if you are going to have, and the other DDR is, this is a kind of a sweetener DDR. But the other one is to bring in the army, put them into the villages, then they search for the weapons, they grab them, they arrest whoever has got illegal weapons of whatever nature. So in many other situations, these two have been used together, and choose them to do this, etc., etc. And in other words, why is it that the DDR we are supporting, or the DDR is a demobilization, the disarmament and reintegration process, that's short for DDR. That is it working? Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
No, so Kuluma Sonke. See, so Kuluma Sonko and our Nota and Miss Nasus Pendu, so educator Sonka Sissi and Glad. Honorable Kenya. Okay. Honorable Kenya. Rapote Kalyan. Sounds like Kalyan the song. Oh, it's from KZN. Kalyan, you're from KZN?
Yeah, both.
Oh, okay. Hello, Kenya.
Thank you, Sir Person. Thank you for the presentation. I think I only have only two questions. The first question will be on the issue of the pre-negotiations agreement signed in December 2018. Now, my question is, as I understand that the conflict was between the government and the rebels, JDM, and also the Sudanese Liberation Movement. Now, in the signing of this process, I don't see now the Sudanese Liberation Movement featured in. Why didn't they sign also the agreement? Because they were both together with the JDM. The last one, which is the second one, is on the transition concept and the reviewers of the reviewer in June 2020. As we are talking about the silencing of guns in 2020, now, I'm looking at this midterm. I don't know whether this exit, this exit of the mission is going to take place, just maybe. It's just a test for the silencing of guns, if the staff will also be part of the silencing of these guns by 2020. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Honorable Putin?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very sad. Ndabaya said tough. And I think we should also be happy that the president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, will be the chairperson of the African Union. And you can see now that the situation on the report that there is calm in Sudan. Because with that plan that they are following since January, there is calmness, and we will also just check when the Ramaphosa take the position. How will it be? Probably it would assist, you know, in calming the situation more and be able to achieve whatever that is needed to be achieved, because really this issue of conflict, and we see that it's men who are really perpetrators of this conflict. And Chair, I really want to say that, you know, I think we are about 18 member countries that were represented last week, women that underwent training on issues of conflict negotiations and mediation. And we said that we want to be part of this conflict resolution. Oh, thank you, Chair. We want to be there really to assist. It's been men who has been doing that. We don't know whether necessary to, but they bite and buy a fodisa. So as women, we are the one who are really affected on this conflicted countries. Through you as a chairperson, we were four from this committee that went for that course. It pains us because there is absolutely no development in Africa. So in and pushing the Agenda 2063, the agenda that you want to achieve, we want to be utilized as women. The Darfur is just too much issue. So thank you. But the entire Africa, you know, when we were checking about the issues of peace and that, Africa, its development is hampered by this conflict. So siyabonga Chair, siyabonga Sis Memorage, and welcome our colleagues in the in this committee that is very exciting, chaired by our chairperson from Mpumalanga. I thank you that is supposed to his way. Siyabonga Baba.
Honorable Kalyan.
Thank you, Chairperson. According to your presentation, you say there are 35 SAPS officers currently in Darfur. Are there any Defence Force members there? Are the South African I'm talking about now? Are the women peacekeepers part of the SAPS officers that you referred to? What is the criteria for selecting them to be peace officers? What are the conditions of employment for them? What disciplinary charges have been carried out, if any, South Africans were involved in sexual assault situations? You didn't mention in your presentation, but the international relief organizations, between 25 and 30, have left because they cannot do their work effectively. What is South Africa's role to get them back, or a retention strategy? Because it is clear that the relief aid is much needed. And you know, what can be done, or has South Africa played an active role in trying to convince these organizations to come back? Thank you.
Honorable Soma.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and warm welcome to our colleagues. Chair, having said that, probably let me start by express our appreciation as the four members of this committee who attended the training the last 2 weeks, because you sent it off if you didn't want, and you wouldn't have, we would have disappeared, which we were not going to take it kindly, but obviously as your caliber you didn't. But also to thank the department that they were able to fit us in on a pre-planned program. We really appreciated that one, Chair, in the department. But that one has got a B on it, Chair. I'm using this opportunity because it's our last engagement, other than the presentation we'll receive next week, is that if then the administration of IR committee, because and also the department can also advise the new administration at a committee level, what other trainings that the committee members and other members of parliament in general, they can take advantage of. Because what we learned the last 2 weeks, it also applicable to our general life. It can be, it is applicable in our organization as well, so it's more generic as ever, which then is quite empowering. But I'm making an example that, but there are other lots of things that we have learned during the strategy that we had 6 weeks back, which some of us, as a new member, by the way, I'll remain a new member until next week, which I didn't know, and it's very exciting. There are lots of things that honorable members of parliament can be empowered on, which also I think the department is also, I know one of the BRRR debates, I can't remember whether it was the Honorable Raputis 2 years back, she also spoke to that, and the minister responded positively on that. And I'm saying we must take advantage of that so that Parliament can start budgeting for those trainings as well. Thank you, Chair. On that note, I know I was abusing, but I thought I should say that, Chair. Secondly, then, coming to the presentation, notwithstanding that our presentation, which probably is my fault that I didn't check the latest submission of the presentation, some of the bulletins were not there, so we might have omitted some of the things that you have said, because, yeah. Chair, taking the line from the first input of Honorable Raputi, that the Ramaphosa magic might also probably might be the cause. But I'm saying then, my question would be, because that's the perception. It could be nice, I know that you are giving us a helicopter summarized report as it were, but also when you make statements that seems to give us a positive note, it could be nice to say that our, for an example, in my page 7 here of the presentation, Chair, that as SA we welcome the security situation in the last few weeks that has seems to be a little bit settled, to say what informs that statement. That's very critical for us also to know that are we making dentists in these countries that we intervene on, or we assist. So if you may also just to say support that statement, all the statements that you have made, even the criminal incidents and all that, because it boils down to the question that Honorable Kalani has raised as well, in terms of other unintended consequences that should unfold, which might not necessarily be discussed at the peace negotiating table, as it were, but which must happen. Chair, Honorable Kalani also raised the issue which I was going to raise, that in the negotiating table, who takes care of the vulnerables? I don't want to confine it to women, Chair, because we also spoke about that one, but also Chikuwa children. Is there any voice there?
Who takes care
of the vulnerables, which are women? Is there any representation voice for women in those discussions? Because that's very important, that also, if you want to build a nation, you can deal with the hard issues, but also the vulnerables and the spirit of that you just spoke about in terms of a perpetual poverty situation that people cannot take themselves out of it, that there must be a voice. If it's not, we are suggesting that South Africa must find a way incrementally for that voice to be heard on that table. The last one, Chair, for me, in terms of the target that we have set ourselves, all parties that are involved in Sudan, is in 2020 that there must be a peace achieved. What mechanisms and systems are in place, noting the report in your last pages that talks to that? Is it going to be a moving target? And how do we know, how are we going to assist ourselves also to be taken seriously in the African continent, to say if we set up the timeline are achievable, notwithstanding that the other things are between those parties that are involved, in particular on this one, even the interested parties who are not coming to the peace table, but also who indirectly or directly perpetuate of those conflicts, in particular to the Sudan issue, Chair. If one can get that, and other than that, Chair, I'm covered with my colleague's question. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Kalesoma. Can I abuse my chairship to come back and make another comment? Miss Morake, one of the things in Sudan which allows this debilitating crisis to continue is because the leadership. You see, the leadership of these parties go for a negotiation, then they sign agreements, but they have no respect for the sanctity of agreement.
Mm.
In other words, they just, and it takes money to negotiate, then say no, we agree on this, we don't agree on this, and other countries facilitate, your Germany or whoever, UN, sit around this thing, like the DRC was here at Sun City, you see. But say they sit there for 6 months or for 2 years, and then any one of the signatories can just pull out, or they mean sometimes pull out, and there are no consequences. That in this peace agreement, Julie signed here on such and such a date, any other member or any other party that may pull out without indicating why they are pulling out, there will be the following consequences, if you understand what I mean. Because of some, either their own interests or the external interests that they represent, that you see, you must scuttle this peace process by pulling out, so that you are not bound by it, then you continue the way you are continuing. So it doesn't, if it's 15 parties and the biggest and the strongest militarily pulls out, those who are remaining there become vulnerable. You are actually back to square one. So I don't know how do I ask you this question. I'm just saying, there is no respect by the leadership for the sanctity of agreements. And that means people just sign agreements and get away with it. Yeah, if you can also comment on that one. Then let's close it there. Honorable members, Honorable Siyabi and Honorable Matlangi, you will be free to come in. Although, Nyansugela, couldn't start with us, so that you could make some comments. Honorable Siyabi?
Yeah, last time I know that we found the presentation at the tail end, but maybe the committee will also lend me, but the perception that we observe in terms of this issues over the world, particularly with the humate, you have a situation wherein we have two set up. Though that goes for peacekeeping mission from African countries, genuinely been deployed by their respective governments. But you have those that from Europe are there for retirement purposes, to say if I go there, ultimately it will be my package and I will retire. Then it speaks back to the issue of the continuous engagement, never ending wars, or the peacekeeping mission does not end, because it's a benefit exercise. People go there to say, in my last, I'll then get more money and retire. Then how do then deal with that perception or that kind of a style or lifestyle of people go military, being sent there for purpose of retirement with lump sum of money, and at the same time those that are in Africa are genuinely there to ensure that this peacekeeping mission that will ultimately result in peace and prosperity for those nations. And then I'm live to that as and when we read and then follow news and developments that we're likely not to achieve because of these two scenarios. And the other issue is also the reconfiguration of UMED, to say in terms of power and hegemony and the interests we have, but also the achievement that African state wants to achieve, how to then push more in terms of representatives so that we look directly to secure our interest in such body, because it's also about that, so that you know that the agenda that must swell in within and understanding. And the other thing, yes, Dafydd has been on the card for some time, from also resolution from the ANC. The issue is also issue of re-engineering the social compact there. in terms of allowing organs of civil society to rise, so that you then have strong and formidable organs of civil society that will ensure that they relearn the nation there in terms of issues of moral in terms of education and so that you then have to give children to learn, so that we don't have child soldiers coming in as a result of lulling. People do not have anything, they'll create something. So I think maybe the DECO must look into reviving the organs of civil society to make them strong, that at least they can be able to take up some of these issues and then the politics of also Darfur to really address real issues of reconstruction, issues of nation buildings that are also needed in that part of the world. And yeah, thank you.
In Parliament, when you speak for the first time, I don't know, in the committee, it is called a maiden speech, and it applies to men too.
Gentleman's
speech. So, thank you for your maiden speech. Thank you very much, Honorable Siabi. Ms. Muraka?
Thank you very much, Chair and Honorable Members, on the questions and comments. Just to start off with your comments and also question, Chair, that just to say that the issue of conflict in general in Africa and anywhere else, I imagine, but perhaps more on the African continent, is a very sad story indeed. And of course, if we look at it, there's always, depending on where one is standing or sitting, there's always external influence coming into the theater of conflict, where personal or national interest becomes a priority. So so whenever we deal as South Africa, when we deal with becoming part of the solution, it becomes important for us to really understand the real issues, behind the conflict. You will recall that the issue of regime change, you indicated that sometimes, the head of state itself, as the idiom goes, that, the fish rots from the head sometimes, or most times. But your comment that it could just as well be that the head of state might be the cause to the problem itself. I would just say that in general the UN frowns upon issues of regime change and interference and so on, and we have found very strongly in the C34 that this issue is becoming more and more heightened, where you find that the blocs really speak very strongly against interference, external interference into issues of sovereign nature, and because of that, sometimes it becomes a hindrance to peacekeeping, and therefore resulting in escalation or the continuance of conflict. With regard to using sexual exploitation as a weapon of war, it is quite sad, and especially as you said, Chair, and our honourable members, that women and children are that their plight does not get better at all. That they are, they find themselves in the cold face when it comes to this. The South Africa itself takes very strongly against the issue of sexual exploitation and abuse. And I think that the Department of Defense as well will be presenting, if they haven't as well, presenting a bill to criminalize sexual exploitation and abuse in South Africa. The other issue that has been coming up quite often is that in a theater of conflict, we find that it becomes the issue of sovereignty again, and issues of command and control, you know, where you might be, sometimes we call them caveats, you know, where you find that there's a situation where a group might be able to go in and intervene, you know, but because their own country have actually, you know, put in some caveats to say that, you know, our troops will not patrol, I'm just making an example, will not patrol in the evening, so will not, you know, be subjected to this, that, or the other, becomes the problem when you have different groups or different troops coming from different countries with different caveats, you know, to what needs to actually happen. So that the force commander, the issue of command and control then becomes a problem, you know, because the commander is not able to say we need assistance, you know, because this group, and we've seen it also with the FIB, where as an enforcement mandate, the FIB has been able to quell and reduce quite a lot of calamities in the DRC as compared to where we don't have an enforcement, as you rightly said, Che. So it is very important for South Africa to keep impressing upon, you know, its like-minded countries that it is important for us to keep to make it a point that, you know, peacekeeping in its wholeness is commensurate to the actual situation on the ground and what is happening. The issue of restricting access to humanitarian to people who need assistance or relief, it's quite a problem, and it is regretted again generally where there's conflict, and we've seen it also as a trend. You know, it happens in the DRC, it happens in South Sudan, it's happening also, you know, in the Sahel region, it's happening in Darfur itself. And we have seen that the soldiers, both the UNAMID, whether be it military or the police, have continued. And this is one of the reasons, ma'am, where we are saying that the situation is reaching a level of calmness. Because, you know, the patrols are intensifying, you know, and also the police, the SSR, the security sector section of the police and the military are also, you know, accompanying, you know, people and women, you know, to go and access, whether it's to go and fetch water or it's to go to the clinic and so on. So in general, it is, we feel that the calmness is really caused by the fact that, interestingly enough, the troops are drawing down, we're reducing numbers, but also simultaneously there's a little bit of improvement going on, despite, of course, the huge atrocities of sexual exploitation and abuse. South Africa, as always, as part of our foreign policy, we encourage a lot of peace building, but most probably, most importantly, we also, we are the proponents of preventive diplomacy, because it is when we prevent conflict that, in fact, you know, the rest can come into place. And therefore, it would be important to keep pushing for rather, you know, preventive diplomacy, but also, you know, other like-minded countries as well are coming in to support us, to say that, you know, if the principle of preventing conflict, preventing squalor and
and underdevelopment and the lack of, you know, rule of law, preventing, you know, undemocratic means of, you know, of governance and so on, that if all these are in place, then these are actually measures of preventive diplomacy that would then make sure that, that the country is on its way to developing. DDR, yes, the problem is that initially there were only the other two groups in Darfur were not part of the negotiations. So as part again of the improvement or the calmness that is being experienced within the country is that we are seeing now that the stakeholders like the AU high level panel and also the United Nations Secretary General's joint special representative, former Ambassador Mamabolo, that they have really come in and they've tried to bring the other two groups that were not part of the pre-negotiations. They're bringing them in now to start looking at the roadmap and to see how they can also come to the table in order to, you know, to make sure that peace prevails. And as part again just of what is it that South Africa and the AU in general are doing, we have as part of the silencing the guns, we have September that has been designated as a gun-free month. But then, of course, member states are encouraged throughout the year, you know, within their own states to ensure that it doesn't just become a once-off exercise, but that it happens, you know, through, because we all know that a conflict can start small in a community, it can actually escalate and build within a country and become bigger. So if we encourage it as part of our own laws, as part of the silencing the guns, countries, member states will then be able to ensure that, you know, at a very small level, at the micro level, that communities are aware of the importance of safety and security. Yes, I could say, Mama, that the drawdown could be a test for silencing the guns, but the AU is really seized with the issue of trying to reduce violence as much as possible. Hence, for instance, the commemoration of gun-free September, and therefore, for the UN though, you know, as well, the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, as I said in my presentation, in collaboration with the AU, have really enforced and reiterated and re-emphasized the importance of the UN supporting peace, you know, peace processes on the African continent. And of course, at the moment, the biggest elephant in every room where peace is discussed the African continent has been funding, and of course, and it ranges, you know, between some of the P5 members feeling that you know the UN assessed contributions cannot be used because Africa is building its own coffers, because we undertook to build to put together 25% of assessed contributions for Africans into a peace fund coffers. So this is one of the things that have at the moment that have made us to reach a deadlock. In fact, last week on Friday, because we are not meeting each other in terms of this particular agreement on the peace fund. Mama Raputi, on the comment on the president becoming the chair of the AU, next year.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, our branch within DEFCO and other branches as well, the Africa branch and so on, we are looking at strategies on how to prepare for the chairship next year.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you will remember that both the president and the minister have heightened the importance of placing women in the forefront in terms of conflict resolution. At the moment, women, peace and security is gaining a lot of traction, and we, this week there's a substantive session on CSW. I'm sure that the issues will come up as well in the UN, we are hoping to make sure that more troop contributing countries and police contributing countries will begin to implement the Action for Peace principles and roadmap, among which women, peace and security is at the top priority. And the reason for this, yes, is that it is easier for women, let me not say easier, it is natural for women peacekeepers to be able to reach out, especially in situations where there are women and children, and in other instances where there are religious restrictions where women are supposed to be assisted only by women and so on. So it is very important that women ensuring that representation of women in peacekeeping is increased. I'm not leaving out the most important issue as well of women also gaining experience in the web, be it, you know, whether actually visiting, you know, these particular conflicts where South Africa is participating, or attending any kind of empowerment, you know, skill set fora for women to get this experience. Honourable Kalyan, you asked about criteria for selecting peacekeepers to participate in peacekeeping. South Africa is engaging all its troops in what they call force preparation and training, and therefore there are specific criteria that is set. And what is beginning to happen now, because of the scourge of sexual exploitation and abuse, we are seeing more and more UN enforcing and making sure that the issue of performance is topmost in the priority of force preparation, where issues of checking health, checking the psychological or the mental state of people who will form part of the force, as well, and ensuring that, you know, and South Africa has now taken it a step further as well. They're taking not just assessment, but they're taking samples, blood samples as well, of the troops, so that they're able later on to compare them should there be, you know, litigation for SEA, for sexual exploitation and abuse, so that, you know, they're able to then compare where there were cases of litigation for SEA. Of course, again, we know that it's not always very easy to have people. Ideally, it's always important to ensure that where the incident has happened, that, you know, the investigation and everything is done there and is settled there. But then sometimes you find that because if it were to come out and go to, you know, to the true contributing country, then it leaves the jurisdiction, you know, of both legal and otherwise of the incident, and sometimes it becomes difficult to get witnesses, you know, to come through because the situation has been moved out of the theater or out of its own original environment. And of course, those that are for South Africa, those have been found to have contravened There are, you know, codes of discipline within the.
But I want you to finish by 11.
Okay.
So
yes.
By 12, there's a member who will leave and will
okay.
to finish the set of the other agenda.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to wrap up very quick. There was a comment on what South Africa is going to do in order to ensure that all these relief organizations are back to Darfur. Considering that the President is going to be chairing this matter, I will elevate it to the superiors back in Darko to see what is it that we can put in place. The issue of the drawdown, there were indicators that were put in place as part of the drawdown roadmap or plan, and some of those indicators, just to mention a few, are that, you know, protection of civilians should be intensified and increased more and more, because when civilians are protected more, then the communities on the ground begin to be more calmer. There's mediation also as part of the indicator as part of the roadmap. Mm-hmm. Issues of peace building and PCRD as well. That these have got to be taken care of so that we can be certain that there is that there's going to be a reasonable situation when the drawdown takes place. Chair, you mentioned the lack of respect for sanctity, on agreements. Again, a trend that is very regrettable in countries ridden with conflict. We're seeing this trend that there's always a reneging on cessation of hostilities, where other stakeholders tend to withdraw from the negotiation table, and it's a very difficult situation. But my personal comment on that is that with South Africa believing and trusting in democratic process of doing things and ensuring that, you know, our learned lessons or lessons learned that come from consultative and inclusive negotiation becomes important, though it is not easy for, you know, where you have people who had come to the table and because of either because they are proxies of other influences elsewhere, tend to come in and muddy the waters. Honorable CIB, again, just to mention quickly that, our president as the AU-UN champion, I'm sure he will be seized with the issue of ensuring that the social compact, you know, becomes an important part of moving Darfur forward and ensuring that finally peace is experienced. But I think again, I will elevate this as well to DERCO to ensure that they make it part of looking at the strategies for chairing of 2020 AU chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Mrs. Rachel, can I just bring in something a little bit extraneous to this discussion? I'm going to issue a statement after this on the crisis on the people who have died in the Ethiopian disaster on behalf of the committee. But I think I want to put in something of national importance, that the department must make sure that it makes sure that South Africans know the protocols governing people who get arrested
outside the country and people who die outside the country. There are two members in about 2 weeks following each other that actually wanted telephone numbers of the official in the department who's dealing with people who are arrested outside. And they gave me the number of Mr. Chris Chetty, who was able to assist. Then this weekend, there was the issue of Boucher.
Sorry, on a point of order, Chairperson, I don't know that that has relevance to the topic at hand.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. So I think, can we move on with the business? Because I don't think it's fair to ask this presenter to even pass a comment about your press statement.
Not on this one.
But you are now giving your voter queries and your own findings. I could also now start telling you about people that died on the Ethiopian airline. One of them was an interpreter from the Pan-African Parliament, and how I spent my weekend also trying to assist. I think let's stick to the agenda with all due respect. Time constraints are important.
The point of order is not sustained because the member doesn't understand the context in which I'm bringing in this matter. I'm saying in the statement, I would like to call upon the department to issue the protocols governing people who get arrested outside the country. And I was saying, when I spoke to the department, they gave me the number of Mr. Chris Chit. Now there is this lady, Boucher, from Mlazi, who died. She was working for the MSC company in the Bahamas. And the family, for about more than a week,
3 weeks,
was refused to get the mortal remains back to South Africa because they are the people who actually, mainly we the Africans, don't cremate, we bury. Now the USA, and then I was talking to Honorable Mwabe and Honorable Peking Konyen, and the Minister's PA. And then ultimately when the department firmly intervened, then the authorities there said, no, we don't release dead people. And the USA said, it's not going to fly over our waters. Then they had to give in for the body to be cremated. What is the point I'm making is that most of us, the South Africans and members of Parliament, don't know what do you do, who do you contact in the department. Perhaps the port of call should be the embassy. But what do you do when a member is outside the country? What happens? Why do others? They get the mortal remains, like when we're in Mpumalanga, I think Thobo Mabena died in Italy. She came back, and the singer Abigail, Miriam Makeba was returned. But in this case, she was cremated. Now you see those things. The department should issue a protocol for South Africans to know that in its website. Perhaps one of the presentations should be to the committee that is going to come after us and ultimately members of Parliament. So that's the context, Honorable Kalia.
It's irrelevant, but anyway, let's move on with the meeting.
But very important, this protocol.
Yeah, but not for this presentation. We've made that point 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, with all due respect, let's move on.
No. So... So what I was saying, Ms. Morake, in the statement in Rifa, so I would like you to make this matter reach the department. He assisted on this matter. Did you want to make a comment?
No, Chair, let's proceed. It's just that it's fun on our last days. We get to so impatient with each other without understanding, because I think we understand, some of us, we want to like to elaborate, but also the essence of the point, also without, also if you are impatient, you don't get the message what is merely being raised. I don't want to go to that one, but I think, honestly, our level, we are talking about peace here, and also we are so emotional about each other. But let's just talk about here before the time.
Honorable Chair. Honorable.
Yeah, I think, Chair, you did well to raise this issue of the Ethiopian Airlines. Really, it is painful. And notwithstanding the issue of the Bahama lady in Bahama. However, we really wanted to hear what were you saying, and then so that the lady from DECO can be assisted, and because the DECO's chatty, he's also the one who came here in this committee to come and address us on people when they are in distress in outside the country. I think you have to re-emphasize it. But the issue of Ethiopia here, we thought that the people that we were training with, they are inside that plane. And we are still chatting about it. So probably the lady, there was another lady who was from Tafu in our training, in our training. So we are also, this is a conflict. And we said that we want to be part of that, to assist. Pain is part of conflict. Disaster is part of conflict. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Sister Nell. Mosala.
Thank you, Chair.
On the protocol that I was talking about. We're restricting ourselves to that.
Okay, Chair. The committee has already made recommendations to the department, and the reports that are before you, Chair, both of them have made that recommendation on the what they call now a travel smart kit.
Mm-hmm.
The committee discussed this, and there is a recommendation already to DECO.
I bought a travel smart kit. I don't think I found that young. Does it cover people who die outside? Because then I'm always caught offside. If I read it, then over the weekend things are going right about what to do, what numbers, etc.
We discussed it in the safe house, if you remember, over dinner. It was really discussed in detail, but maybe.
I lost it. Okay, thank you very much, honourable members, and thank you very much, Ms. Morake, for ever educating us on things just developing. I always say they are not yet in the textbook, and the department becomes the political resource for the members, and thank you very much. Department. Now, members, let's get into the consideration and adoption of the committee legacy report over the last 5 years, 2014 to 2019. Dated, just the Neosector, you want us to put the date here, or you want to put the month? Let's start there, because it's just a dated. If we consider and adopt today, we put today's date or next week's date, or we put the month 2019. Can you speak to that? Yeah.
Okay, the date will be the date that the committee adopts the report.
Okay. So Carlos Fagela and I. Now, all the members, the report was presented, but we did say that the system should go and improve in some of the pages and some of the information that needed to be improved on. I have been able to read through the report only yesterday. I hope that the members have also been able to try to peruse through, and I want to invite your comments on each of the pages or each of the formulations or sentences where you think they could be improved or something like that. Then it will save our time, because we could be done by 11:30. Now, the first page deals with the executive summary.
up to page 2. Anything on page 1? Page 2?
Yes, Chairperson, I had sent through detailed amendments.
Can I hear you?
I had sent through detailed amendments to the Secretary, and I'm delighted to say that most of them have been accepted. However, I would like to go to the third paragraph on page 2. First line, that the overall political and diplomatic performance has been good and consistent. I think I would like to just see the wording has been consistent over the past 5 years. Because in the 5 years that we have monitored this department, there have been many issues that still remain unresolved, as if you when you look at the draft report which you're going to look at just now. So I don't know why we want to give them marks and say good and bad and whatever. Let us just say that it has been consistent over the past 5 years.
On our government.
Chair, thanks. I'd like to echo the sentiments of my colleague there very strongly. And then just the next sentence, it says, the manner in which the department has portrayed South Africa when engaging with the global partners has put the country on a better space internationally. Again, I think the positive language, we need to be very careful, because this is our assessment of the report. It's not, it's our assessment from the committee. So what we could do is, instead of just leaving out, let's leave out better and just say it's put the country in a relevant space internationally, in a relevant space internationally. Better gives it a fully confident, positive spin on it, and I just don't believe that we've done that. There's no factual basis to believe that our, let's say, satisfaction factor internationally has improved by virtue of Durka in the last 5 years. I can argue very strongly on all the international forums that I've represented that indeed it's actually the opposite. So in fairness to the committee, though, I would suggest a neutral image. You know, that there has definitely been international interest. There definitely has been international. We definitely have stayed relevant on the stage, but I don't think it's in a better light. I think it's just in a relevant light.
More hands now. It was Kalyan. It was Batman. Could you want to come in?
Yeah.
And then someone.
Chairperson, I think Honorable Bergman, better. I think it's not really
excellent.
Too excellent at what and good, relevant or what. But I think it's calm. It's soft. It's I've done English for Bantu education, English, and I think better. It's calm. It's soft. It's fine. I don't see anything. I really don't know because you are from Germany. Which English you did? I did.
No, don't go there.
Don't go there. Okay, I've done for English.
Yeah,
but better is soft. What is better?
Whatever you come from.
You see,
relevant.
Better, then you are saying from poor to better.
Yeah.
We are not casting aspersions on the last performance.
Yeah.
If you are saying better, then that means somebody before this was very bad or was very poor or was average. Yes. We are not giving the department marks we are saying, we are sitting as committee, what our findings were. So I think even in whatever education,
but you are speaking in a borrowed space, you will not recognize. You are speaking in the continue on our language.
Chairperson, I think we did agree about this better. Then we are going to change again. I don't think that there is really...
Okay.
We are not putting any mark here. I think that is why the tone is so down.
Okay.
For us.
Okay. All right. According to my list.
Chair, you know what? In terms of, if we read the third paragraph, it doesn't deal with the administrative part of it, which since I joined this committee, that has been an issue that we're not happy about, it, even the aging rate. However, since I joined this committee, there's never been a dissenting voice when the statement in terms of the first paragraph has been made. If you go to the previous minutes in terms of also listening to the archives, you will find that. And we have been also, even in our debate since I joined this committee, saying that in terms of the soft political diplomatic performance, the department has been doing well, actually, the word that has been used, consistently. Even if you go to the, the performance assessment tool also, it has been highlighted, that one, which has got nothing to do with the political view and the perception that we have. Unless now we have got a different, emotion change, but from as a new person, which is under 12 months in this committee, we have been constantly saying that as members. Secondly, Chair, the way they are explaining the issue of better and space, I'm not married to the better, but the fact of the matter, as we stand now in this term, we have been performing better in the international space. It's not a subjective issue, that's a fact. It's factual. The mere fact that when we're dealing with Darfur, also Sudan, the mere fact that we're thinking that even the appointment of our president to chair the AU, that's an issue process on that one. I'm saying we're consistent with the developments that are happening, even the African countries also. Even the international countries, not even African countries, have been warming up, which means there has been an improvement. As to how you perceive it, that it's an English word, but I don't think we can also be married to the word per se. But there has been an increase in performance that, from where I'm seated, Chair, it's a subjective matter, and in English it depends then. But the way they're explaining it, we can get a better English word that can bring the minds together, because that's a fact. We've been doing well in that space. Thank you, Chair. Let me finish my sentence. When I went through the report, Chair, I was comforted that members who were present last week also, their input also makes the report better and also makes sense in terms of also the template that we've been giving. And I'm happy with the general. But also, I don't think we can fight so aggressive in terms of better and good and worse and all that. Thank you, Chair.
You want to come back on our government?
Yes, Chair, this wasn't in the original report. For those that read the original report would know that it wasn't in there in any education. So if we now have a chair, anyone who knows English would know better is a positive connotation. So if you're saying it's better, are you saying Madiba's years were not good internationally? Because that would be problematic, because I think our best performance internationally was actually through the Madiba period, because it was put us on a stage. Now, to refute that and to say that this was better, we'd have to question what we were doing in the last 5 years, or which reports we were listening to. Because it's also this very committee that sat here during the strategic breakaways and workshops, during the auditor's reports, and gave the exact same, we all seem to be on the same page there. I do agree with the ANC whip, that I think the compromise is almost to just reword it in a way that says, And I think the right wording, in my humble opinion, is to say, is to take out better and just say, has put the country in a more relevant space internationally. And I think that's the way of doing it. It's a neutral, not marking. That's the fair way of doing it.
No, I don't agree. I don't agree, and I'm going to try to explain. And in doing so, I'm going to draw the attention of the members of the committee on paragraph number 2 of the first page, page 1,
yeah.
Paragraph number 2. And as the paragraph says, from the onset, the committee agreed that when it comes to issues of foreign affairs of the country, there could only be one message to the outside world. Only the official South African foreign policy position on issues could be communicated to the outside world for consistency. Now, linked to this, I have had the privilege of chairing this committee for the last 5 years, and the privilege, that is not a privilege, and the possibility of being present, because I'm chair, except when I was attending the SADC parliamentary forum meetings. So the word better and excellent has been used in our minutes in describing the performance of the better of the department about protocols, conferences, and that and that and that. And we have always said the weakness of the department is in the internal operations. Issues that are raised by the Auditor General about finances, about we then recommended the appointment of the COO, etc., etc. Now, and it's there in the report. But we said at a diplomatic political level, the department actually put South Africa on a better space. And that the word better or well is not excellent, because there are instances where even the department admitted that we may have voted in a way that made us to be perceived to be not assisting human rights violations in some of the countries. Now, the last part is that we come from different parties. And parties have got own positions on certain things. Now, there's a country position. If you look at the parties, what do some of the South African parties say about the Dalai Lama and Tibet as a province of China? And then you look at what the China policy with regard to Tibet and how it reacts to that, you find that the parties don't find one another. So we've agreed to disagree on that one. But then there must be a country position. That's why I drew the attention of the members to the second line. Then you look at our positions on Palestine. We have agreed to disagree that when it comes to parties, they don't necessarily have the same views. But there is a view of the government. Whether you're talking about the two-state solution or human rights, etc., ultimately you say we accept that a particular party has this position and the other party has this position. Now there must be a government, a position of South Africa, because South Africa is a member of the United Nations. It must speak for South Africa there. It will not say that party says that, that party says that, there are 13 parties in parliament. It can't. It doesn't happen anywhere. It doesn't happen even in the USA or the UK. So we have different views when it comes to Western Sahara. Now, these are things that will happen. So for me, I would say that let's accept that there are party positions. But that they will, therefore, because there is official government position on certain things, that I am speaking from the chair, I'm fairly comfortable with the word better or well. We at least we have not said excellent. But political work and diplomatic work has been done very well. Not that we didn't commit some minor, I'm talking about South Africa, some perceived minor mistakes
in the manner that we voted, depending on who was persuading us to vote that way, etc., etc. Or the leadership of the country will remain guilty of associating with certain countries or with certain parties. Now, when you compile a report like that, for as long as the ruling party, that ruling party will say, no, because it associates with that particular country or a group of countries, then it can't be bad. Because they are in the BRICS, or they are with so and so, or with that with particular organization. And I can go on and on. The very Mandela, saying better than my first, agree better than what?
If you're comfortable to say to leave it as it is, let's go ahead. But the PA will not support the report if we find major disagreement. We will not adopt it. But if you want to stick with the word better, the consequences of it is better than what? And if you can justify it's better than, you know, all the previous dispensations, it's better than the time when South Africa was accepted onto the world and its 126 footprints, better than all that happened here, let's leave it and let's go on with the report. Thank you.
No. You want me to explain what I mean by better or well?
No,
historically.
I hope it doesn't have
okay,
chair or
stop it. Just leave it and the party will take it. Thank you.
Because that I can do with absolute ease.
Especially better in the picture.
Assist me now?
Because I'm not going to keep you.
If it will assist
well, our, yes.
The wedding. as it stands there, Chairperson, if it will assist the committee, it's from the strategic plan of the department and it's also from the national development plan. The better space international, so that comparatively with other countries, South Africa is in a better place, so it cannot be in an excellent place maybe. So the NDP and the strategic plan of the department see South Africa in a better place internationally. That's where we the wedding comes from.
English.
Comparing with other countries internationally.
Okay. Let's stay with that. We will note the disagreement or objection of members on behalf of the. No. I'm saying if they want us to know that, they must say so. On this one. However, I don't want to go to a situation where we must vote. I am very reluctant. Page 3. Page 3 deals with the 2014 committee program. If you look at the committee program 14, 15, 16, and 17, it is summarized in the manner that it is summarized. But if you want to see what was then happening, then you have to go to the different programs of the department, which are not necessarily here. And they are the same programs every year, you know, administration, international transfers, international relations, international cooperation, etc., etc. Those ones are the programs that constitute the department. But here is just the summary of 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Yes. Page 3, any observations and recommendations? Page 4. can I just be general, Secretary, and on page 4, whether we need a sentence that said the committee was getting briefings. You see the briefing that we got today, that the committee would invite the department to give us briefings on issues arising. Some, you said South Sudan, Brexit, that and that. Could it not be that if we want to be specific to countries, that we may have left things that we may have requested either the minister or deputy minister or the DG or officials to brief us on? I don't know what the sentence should be, but for me, that sentence could say that the department, or maybe at the end, that the committee would invite either the department or outfits like, what do you call them now? I'm looking for the correct word, like your IGD, your strategic, on strategic studies, things like that. The other of us accord. Now, think tanks. Now, the Association of Farmers. You would call those people and say, give us a development, international development, or give us a briefing on this specific issue. But see, cover it generally. And if we do so, we cover it in each year. Do I make sense content advice? For each year, or do I make sense for doing it at the end? And just to say, we would invite anyone and get them briefing us about development. Can you come in?
Thank you, Chairperson. We had it for general. So if the committee is saying we should mention it for every year, we can do so, Chairperson. We had it.
Where is it covered in page 4?
Under scope of, method of, what is it called again? Our method of work.
Under the method of work.
Yes,
sir. Page 1.
I'm looking at this page.
You see, I was trying to make life easy for us in each year, that on any other matter arising internationally, the committee would invite either DERCO or other stakeholders, then you can say EG, IGD accord to brief the committee. Then that covers the committee. Then you do that every year, even if it's irritating, it's like you are repeating it. But at least it puts you on the safeguard. Members?
The is from page 20, Chairperson. Mm-hmm. Just that the legacy report itself is demagogue, but that is where that part we are supposed to highlight whether we had any, sort of extraordinary type of
approach. Page 20.
Page 20, that first paragraph, Chairperson.
The one that says the parliamentary oversight model.
Yes, gives limits for oversight. Then the last sentence there, it says, the committee had to adapt to the situation by ensuring it conducts oversight whenever it would have traveled abroad. It also engaged the relevant stakeholders and think tanks on issues in order to benefit from expert and independent views on matters on its agenda. So that covers everything. So if the committee, if we need to reflect on that on each and every year, we can do so, Chairperson. Just that the legacy report wanted us to mention it here. That is a special method of work of the committees, other than what normally other committees would do.
Oh, okay. No, I think I'm fine. Because now it also engaged the relevant stakeholders and think tanks. And these are your IGT and your Accord and others on issues in order to benefit from expert and independent views on matters on a certain day. I think that, that should cover us. Page 5. Page 6. Committee program. Page 8, Chief Operations Officer, page 9. The Sequoia did brief us at some point, ne?
Mm.
And the former deputy minister assistant. Page 10. Page 11. Page 12. Page 13. On international transfers.
Yes, just to guide the committee, that's the one, two, three, four, paragraph 4 to the back. I don't know if the committee will be comfortable with that. This is where we are referring to the travel smart kit, the consular services that the department offers. That's the paragraph.
No, what do you mean? Are we found there? See you, guys.
The committee continued to engage the department on consular services.
Oh. Okay.
Including the need to register citizens who travel abroad for ease of reach in an emergency. The registration of South Africans abroad ROSA mechanism was withdrawn due to logistical issues. A new initiative, the Travel Smart Kit, has been launched, which guides South African travelers on matters they need to be mindful of abroad and to register at a resident South African embassy. The challenge as raised by the committee is the voluntary nature of this service.
Yeah, it covers it, but when I said I will put it in the statement, it's because I want the detail of people who get arrested and people who die. Now, because of my personal ignorance on the matter, I must just see the troubles mass. But I still argue that forum pagat, something that must get into the public domain. Thank you, also, the Neo. Page 14. Key areas for future work, and there are many. Page 15. Uh,
Honorable Bachmann.
It's hard to find the actual, the right bullet point, but yeah, I know that when I mentioned in that second last bullet point, I mentioned the Palestine Western Sahara. I went further to mention Ukraine, Russia, and China. Now, we seem to have gone for the Palestine Western Sahara, but again, we've missed out the China and Russia conflicts. Now, if we're going to be impartial and we're going to oversight all conflicts, we must document the conflicts that are requiring us to have a position and to oversight. I had a colleague that had in the promotions on the parliamentary TV channel, it seems to have been edited what he said, because he mentions China, and that part of what he mentions about China is edited out of his motion on the parliamentary TV. Now, why are we scared to do this? You know, if this is a legacy report, let's put the issues here and let the next parliament decide what's important and what's not important. Let's not decide for the sixth parliament what is important and what's not. So please, I'd appreciate if we could honour what we said last time, and maybe just then increase that second last bullet point to include Russia and China.
Okay, I'll hear the members. For me, maybe now that we have spoken about that, for me, it seems in the including, we have not said anything about the continent and whether that falls within the purview of the mandate of the committee, because you see, these things are handled at different levels. President, that. But I know at some point, was it 2012 or 2013? At some point, the committee did go to Palestine.
Yes.
What year was that?
Mm-hmm.
I think when Magama was chair. 2012. Okay. Can I hear the members on the proposal by Honorable Ferchman? Russia, where in Russia? What is the trouble with Russia?
Remember that Ukraine-Russia story that came up last, what's happening with the Russia-Ukraine? There's also a disputed territory there.
A what?
Disputed territory between Russia and Ukraine.
The Crimea.
Yeah. What we're doing is the dispute, what you're isolating in the conflicts in terms of the second last bullet point, is disputed territories. So, like, as you say, you know, it might be in Africa or it might be Middle East, where you can still be continental or perceived as continental, but on the one bullet point we talk about is Cuba, and Cuba is definitely not in our continent, although some people believe it is. I would definitely look at, maybe the payload is to rather say the payoff would probably be to consider investigation oversight to better understand the current disputed territories in the world, or the current disputed territory conflicts.
So that's a blanket cover for everyone.
The current disputed
territories.
Territories.
Of which Palestine is one, Western Sahara is one, Ukraine has one. So it covers pretty much all the
countries. Yeah, before we discuss with the members, I'm sorry to be very personal, but personal to your party. Do you think, what is the problem with granting by Morocco, granting self-determination to Western Sahara from your party, you, and she's going to say I'm out of order, or the two-state solution for the people of Palestine?
because we have also been hard on them that you can't say you don't want the existence of Israel, but also Israel can't say they don't want the existence of us. It's a point of debate another day, but I'm just saying, as a country.
I'm glad you asked that, because it's a very good question.
Yeah.
Because what we get as an oversight here in South Africa is we're educated through the magazines and through the newspapers. When you go into oversight, and I've been to Morocco, I've been to Israel, I've been to Palestine, I've been to Western Sahara, when you go into oversight and you speak to people in disputed territories and in the the UN, that report I mentioned to you, the UNDP report, the life expectancy of a Palestinian is 76 years old. The life expectancy of a South African is 63 years old. So they should have a solid, they should have BDS against South Africa. They should be wanting to protect South Africans because their life expectancy is lower. So we get our education from the magazines and the newspapers. When you speak to people in Western Sahara, the latest UN proposal on the table is the king is saying a right to govern yourself as a province. And not everyone is against that in Western Sahara, but then you find there's a country that has an interest. Yeah, then exactly. So we
why?
Do, but let that be for the next parliament to consider. But all I'm saying is our party is very safe in rather saying let the people decide from within. We will help with international support, but let people decide for what they want. Do you know how many you meet people in these disputed territories? And they're saying, but the international guys aren't helping us because all they're doing is they're speaking about the wrong things, they've got the wrong people lobbying for them. And as I say, let that be the sixth term parliaments. Let's not open a whole debate now because it'll take 3 or 4 days. But let that be on the agenda for the sixth parliament to go and investigate these stories personally. Because then you really find out. I find it outrageously insulting to call another conflict apartheid. Because it diminishes your apartheid. It diminishes the apartheid that we suffered and you suffered here. So it's outrageous to go call the apartheid somewhere else when the apartheid here was a horrible, horrible crisis that spanned, you know, you can get into a whole debate on it. But to compare any other situation to an apartheid takes away from this apartheid, which was what we have to never forget. And we must never forget it.
Can I assist the committee then? We don't write Russia, we don't write China, we don't write UK. We just say consider an investigative oversight to understand the situation better in Palestine, Western Sahara, and other disputed territories. We leave it there.
I think I agree with you, Jefferson. But now, Jefferson, I have a small concern looking at these key areas for future work we're talking about.
What page?
On the same pages.
I'm talking 14 and 15.
On these key areas for future work. Now, may you please
give me permission to go back to the paragraph which
did not deteriorate, because I don't see it here, and I think there is a need for a rationale in this case for this last sentence that talks to page 13, the last sentence.
Page 13.
Yeah, because I don't see it on this key focus areas. Future for future work. The sentence that talks to this, the challenge as raised by the committee is the vulnerable nature of these services. Now. So
where is that specific sentence?
Specific sentence on page 13 now. Noting that I see nothing that talks to it on the key areas for future work. I'm talking about that Rosa versus Travis Matkic.
The 1, 2, 3,
yeah.
the fourth one.
Now, the reason why I'm coming back, sorry for indulgence for coming back to this page. It's because now when you look at the key areas for future work, I don't see anything that talks to the rationale for why did we say that we have a challenge for this vulnerable nature of these services. Maybe if you can, can we add something that talks to that as this impact on bed at the time of emergency? because that is why we were concerned about this issue of voter, because of the, that when there's an emergency of our people dying abroad, there is this, as we are talking about the Hama issue also. So, to my understanding, we can just add something in that, so to have a rationale, why do we say that we are challenging this voluntary nature of these services? By adding something that talks to, because that voluntary in impact to the, it impacts badly on the time, during the time of emergency. Taking issue on the issue of the Nigerian tragedy. That's why I'm saying that. Because that emanated from there.
Now, in other words, you are saying that let's migrate this travels thing as part of the future work and take it to the areas for future work.
Yeah.
And so that the department can then. You say Naomi joining Okenye. In fact, I would be happy if the department were to brief parliamentary caucuses.
Mm.
And in some cases, I spoke about this and I failed to make it happen. For instance, if they come to the ANC caucus, as we speak now, we will be speaking to 249 members. If you speak to the DA, it's 89 members. If you speak to the EFF, it's 25 members. Every member of parliament, if they ask, hey, man, somebody died in Mozambique, they were swimming, what? This is what you must do.
Right.
And many of us don't know, members of parliament. That's the argument I was trying to make. So she is saying that as an area of future work, then we'll bring it back in the future. Into this parliament. Page 16 now. Highlights in general. Page 17.
I just want to query the exact number of missions abroad. Is it 124 or 126?
Okay.
Is according to the latest, according to the current budget vote of the department, it's 125. The committee will be reminded that in 2016 we went down to 124, because two missions were, the one in Latin America and also in the UK were closed down. But now back to 125, not 126. According to the current, haven't we changed it? It's 125. Sorry, it's 125.
Okay. Page 19. I'm reminded that by past attending the PGIR. Any member here of PGIR? Malian?
No.
Are you not replacing Mkhalapa there?
No, I'm on the passport. He's on the status.
Okay. Page 19, remember? And then it's fucking king and fucking I'm inviting them a minute to be here. Page 20. But all public hearings law. Couldn't we write that as capital P, page 21, public hearings, as capital P, capital H, because it's an event, it's like seminar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Page 22. Thank you.
Page 27. You must invite me when you go to Canada. I haven't finished business then.
Going to Canada? Who's going?
The Sixth Parliament.
Oh.
Page 28. Oh, it's not done. It's not allowed. It's not allowed that you invite the former member of the committee. When you go to a certain country and then you pay for the member and the member owes you, then you lose that member as a resource. You know. Page 29. When you say statutory appointments, you say none. By the way, can I be reminded? What are statutory appointments in the strict legal sense? Meaning appointed to what or appointing?
Yeah,
what exactly do we have in mind?
Chairperson, this will happen once we have a sub which is an SOE. That's where the committee will be appointing the maybe CEO of SATBA or the board of SATBA. Those are statutory appointments.
They would have been interviewed by us. Oh. Okay. Interventions, there were none in this, under this particular.
This committee chairperson doesn't deal with interventions because interventions are normally done with the, like the Northwest intervention now and the Limpopo one that other time is done by our mandate actually doesn't cover.
Is 30?
Yes, I would like to address 30.
Honorable Kalia.
Okay, under issues for follow-up, the peace talks have collapsed and South Africa continues to be in solidarity with the people of Palestine. So the DA continues to be in solidarity with the people of Palestine and Israel, but I can see that here it's only in solidarity with the people of Palestine. Chairperson, in the oversight report, which is another document now, page 43.19.21. Okay, mm-hmm. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Why can't we use that wording? Instead of saying South Africa continues to be in solidarity with the people of Palestine, we have a report. One of the recommendations is we continue to campaign for the independence of Palestine under the two-state solution. I'm making that proposal.
Members, can I hear you? Are you commenting? Because I wanted to come to the official position of the country,
mm-hmm.
which I thought
I've started, but let me continue. The official position of the country, which I have also communicated with the ambassador of Israel many a times, was that South Africa supported the two-state solution, the existence of both states. But that historically, South Africa supports those it considers oppressed. So we can't say in solidarity with Palestine and Israel. Well, we've never had issues about which we must pledge solidarity to Israel. But we've had issues about pledging solidarity to the people of Palestine. And it's historical, because the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO of Yasser Arafat, worked with what is now, with the ANC, which is now the ruling party. So if you look at that solidarity issue, it comes from there. You look at Western Sahara, it comes from the fact that it is the only country in the continent which is not decolonized. It comes from there. So certain things, because of their historical nature, find expression from the ruling party into the government. Now, that's for the two members. The foreign policy is largely the preserve of the members of the executive, the president and the minister. Now, even Tina, no matter about oversight, we can't change the positions thoroughly. We oversight on what they say they are doing, but you don't say that. Because Parliament does not have the country to country or state to state or government to government relations. It's the executive headed by the president. You see, I hear and sympathize with the view of the member from her party point of view, not Bergman from the party point of view. Because what it tells you, just to educate us, what it tells you is that if their party were to be in government, for instance, it would severe ties with China because of Tibet. It would hold a particular position regarding this. Now, we would cry foul like them. We would be where they are. We would say, no, but what about this? Then they would say, no, but we're a ruling party. So,
Chairperson, I don't want to engage with that. On page 11 of the legacy report,
yes,
it is clearly stated in the last three lines, well, we discussed and engaged civil society. This was in pursuit of South Africa's position that there must be, must be a two-state solution to the conflict. The two states must coexist in peace, with Palestine gaining the 67 borders and East Jerusalem as the capital. So, my plea to you is that this is a multi-party committee, and it is a report of the committee. It is not a committee. It is not a report of the executive or cabinet or DECO. But if you don't wish to delete that, then let me place my objection on record and let's finish it as it stands. But then, you know, we've got three different statements on the same issue. Why not be consistent about it? Then why don't you put the party position on the Morocco issue, the party position on the Western Sahara issue, the party, the government position on all these issues? I think it's in contravention of, working in a multi-party committee that now we only want to position the South African position. So, or the government position. I am not in disagreement that South Africa's foreign policy must be the only policy that we, at all times when you're representing the country, talk about, which is underpinned by the Constitution and underpinned by human rights. But if we want to be specific about only Palestine's position, record the DA's objection to that. I'm saying elsewhere in the report we are more collegial and we are more friendly towards the approach, but in this particular statement you are only putting your party position and the government position. But so be it, let's move on, record the DA's objection to it.
Okay, the DA's objection is recorded. Page 21, it's 30. It's 31.
Page 30. Well, the second last line, I think the word conduct refers to behavior. I would like to make an amendment to say toward enhancing the execution of foreign policy. Conduct refers to behavior. Execution refers to action.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. You see that?
Yeah.
On page 30, the second line. Perfectly correct. Page 31.
Chairperson,
we have 31.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Page
32. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Chairperson, before we adopt the report, we have in front of us a draft report of the portfolio committee of the visit that was taken, that took place 28 January and 1st February. That is not included in this report. So I would propose that under oversight visits, that this visit be recorded, because there are some recommendations here that don't appear in this report. However, you put a note, recommendations as per the report.
Mm. Okay. Honourable members, can I hear you? Now that we have considered the report, what is remaining is the adoption or non-adoption of the report.
Okay.
Honourable Raputi.
Let me recommend the person who have already went out of her way to write this report, Ustineo. And I'm an Ubuti Lubabalo. And on what Honorable Kalyan have said, and with the oversight report, I'm moving for the adoption with some recommendation to the our legacy report. And this one of the oversight must be also be part of our legacy report. And thank you for chairing this committee for 5 years. Amandla.
Amandla. Just wait until the 20th, then we start Amandla-ness. And we meet in the battlefield with Kalyan and Helen. And you must join the ANC.
You did that, no, I'm not coming back.
For
so
the future.
Join this committee, I won't be here to trouble you.
Can I hear a second, honourable members? Or a third? A second? With motivation or with none here?
I second the adoption with inclusion of the recommendations that are on this one.
Thank you very much. The legacy report, those amendments, etc., is so adopted. The last one is on minutes.
I think.
I said
it.
No.
We have agreed.
There's just a correction on the draft report, page 43.
Okay.
Page 43, 1917. I don't know what the last line means. Declared President Ramaphosa as. I think you meant to say chair of the AU in 2020,
yeah.
But it's not in the report.
What we were reflecting there, which came out of the oversight report, is him being the champion of the AU, UN peace.
Yeah, no,
that's clear, but you got a full stop, and then you got declared President Ramaphosa as. So I'm thinking as chair of the AU 2020, but you have to make that correction. That being said, I move.
Thank you very much.
She moved, but now she moved.
No,
we said we don't know. Yes, we're
saying. Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm a minute. After my minute, sir. I'm a minute. Is that the minute?
Minute
two, ne?
I'm on gaggy.
I'm on gaggy. Page 1 is on attendance mainly. Page 2. The minutes of the 5th December 2018, which was held in this very room. The pages are not numbered, sister. I got my number. Tell us why you have my number, ne? One. Where we're talking about names of the elected parliamentary support staff, that should be page 2. And then et cetera, et cetera. Then page 3. Now, that line there, consideration and adoption of the committee draft minutes 7 November 2018, that second paragraph, Surtarwe 1, it is a committee consider the draft minutes. The draft minutes were accepted. Do we use that word? Or we stick to adopted?
Adopted.
I think it's adopted, just like a topic. Everywhere it must be adopted or not adopted.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Because accepted is something.
But why is it
that
anyone
takes
English?
Yes.
What?
Honorable Mashango.
I'm saying, why don't they make...
Mashango is on the floor.
I'm saying, why don't they make one sentence here? The committee considered the draft minutes and were adopted with amendment.
Make it short. And adopted with amendment. Great.
So then applies to line number 2.
Under the same topic, number 7. What does it say, the acting chairperson?
Draft minutes were accepted with amendments. Also, to use the word, also adopted the official command and chief.
Okay, sister. The last page, it's not the last page.
Chairperson.
We need to explain something.
Yeah.
to say the reason that the report shows that the committee considered draft minutes and accepted them the honourable member was suggesting that we should have in one sentence that the committee considered and adopted. So the sequence is such that the committee cannot adopt the draft minutes. They first consider the minutes and then move for such a draft minutes to be adopted. So hence you see there will be two different levels, because it has to be considered first and then be moved for adoption.
Okay.
Hence we write it the way.
Okay. But Janiki, Ikwareliam was just with accepted instead of adopted.
The adoption is at the end.
Adoption is at the end when you have a mobile.
When you have already moved, that's when you adopt.
No.
So the accepted state.
I made a proposal.
You can say considered, it can be considered or accepted, but then adoption will be after at the end.
Considered.
Honourable Kalyan, on another matter, you know, we who stayed in the farms and our sisters were working in the kitchens, people like you were called
kitchen?
What is kitchen? The ladies who would work in your house would describe you as quiet misses. Yeah.
The lady who works in my house calls me by my name.
You're not quiet. page 4, which has no number.
Thank you. Honorable Mr. PC Secretary. What we are requesting is that it's just that I don't have the previous minutes of the committee where we were adopting minutes.
Mm.
Because the thing that we are saying here, or the issue that we are saying, that we must be consistent with the writings of the minutes. Because, which is the mere fact that we are raising it, is because it has changed as a matter of principle. But I don't have the evidence, and I'm qualifying myself. So don't look at this report. We are the ones who write these minutes. And I'm saying that, can you double check with the consistency of
yeah.
writing the minutes and the mover and all those, so that it could be in line. I'll do that from my side. That's all I wanted to say, Chair.
Okay. The last page, can I hear you on the minutes of the 5th December 2018, Honorable Kenya?
I move for adoption of the minutes of the 5th of December 2018 with amendment.
Any second,
Rafferty
seconded. The minutes of the 13th February.
Okay.
Those are the members who were present.
Okay, we will hear Rafferty.
Page 2. Again, I'm going to have my numbers.
Page 2.
The surname of Mr. Kavenda, the TTG, is not properly spelled.
Okay,
what? It's Kavenda, not. Kavenda. Page 3?
Second part.
Yes.
It was further reported that area that I said. That's it.
It was further reported that. Oh. Do you want to say that?
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's great.
On page 4. Responses.
Oh,
it was further reported, meaning that that is changed to talk to something else, because it was further reported that
comma
should also met this target. So that it means that it is not supposed to be there. It's supposed to be separate, not that it.
ARF.
That or use that it as a name, to name it, not to place it, it like an object to understand it. It was further reported that ARF also met its target and moved it to go now to remove that. So now I understand that it stands for ARF.
The last page. Can I hear the numbers on the minutes?
I move.
Arabocalian move is seconded by Lisoma. How can we one have one page? I want 20 pages. The speaker must see that we're working hard. And our members on the first page. I know my page, no?
You are. I have one too.
I have two. It's double sided. Mm-hmm. The members who attended.
Okay.
Now.
Is Mr. Bergman, D. Bergman? Oh, Darren, yeah. Page 2. Can I hear the members on this one?
Because there was no
call.
Honorable Lisoma moves for adoption. And Honorable who? Seconds.
DGR.
Yes, Honorable DGR. Honorable members, we are under the minutes, the three sets of meeting minutes have been duly adopted. Now, are there any announcements? There are no. Are there any announcements?
Except that next week it will be our last meeting.
Venezuela and the DRC next week, and that yeah, there's also something that has been issued by Parliament to the members. We're coming back about claims and problems.
Oh, yeah. And
maybe that's not my issue, but I'm just saying it is there. In our pigeon holes. So, honourable members, the meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
The meeting is adjourned.
It's adjourned. Okay.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
or ANC, net department ANC, no government or ANC.
Thank you.